here on Magic City Sports Talk on Information Radio Quicks. And it's always good to catch up with some of our former regional radio employees. And one of them is actually going to be calling one of the biggest races in the world this upcoming weekend. That is the Indianapolis 500. They're having the 102nd edition coming up. And our Ryan Marine is kind enough to join us to talk a little bit about that. And Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure is mine, Scott. Always fun to talk to the folks back there in Quicksland.
Yeah, and I know. And as many of you probably know, Ryan used to host our show called The Pit Pass and was at regional radio. How many years were you at regional radio with us?
2 years, 11 months, I think it came out to. I was just looking at my LinkedIn the other day, so just shy of 3 years.
All right, so you go from Moberly and you're now calling one of the biggest races in the world. You must be on cloud nine.
Well, to say the least, that's for sure. I grew up in Indianapolis. This race has always been very special to me. And, in fact, when I went into broadcasting, going back to college, the real impetus behind it was to hopefully one day be a pit reporter on the IndyCar Radio Network. And here we are. That's what I get to do this weekend. And without a doubt, I'm really looking forward to that.
I was going to say, what's some of the biggest challenges of being a pit reporter for one of the biggest races in the world?
Well, there's no shortage of them, that's for sure. I think one thing maybe people don't think about is just how congested the pit lane gets. Teams are constantly shuttling tires in and out of the pit lane. There's all kinds of people down there who you're kind of wondering, well, what exactly is their role with the team? Why are they taking up some space down here? It's hard to navigate, and the section of the pits that I'm covering, it's the north end of the track, so from the 33rd to the 24th pit stall, I believe, it's almost two football fields in length, and that's only about a quarter of the cars in the field. So it's a lot of ground to cover, a lot of storylines to keep track of, but, man, it's a lot of fun. And it's a pretty unique view, that's for sure, when you're standing that close to all the pit action, and the racetrack's not too far away either.
Has it really hit you that you're going to be reporting on the Indy 500? Has it sunk in?
Yes and no. Yeah, I've been thinking about this for many, many years. Certainly, a lot of the time spent out there in Moberly. I was dreaming of one day maybe having a chance to do this. So from that perspective, I guess so. You think about it long enough, and you start to experience some of the things that you envisioned in the past, but I don't know if the full magnitude has hit me. I've had several people who are veterans of this broadcast say to me that nothing really can prepare you for 300,000 people in the stands and a radio audience that last year exceeded 20 million individual listeners. I think every 15 minutes they estimated, based on the Nielsen ratings, that it was something like 8.5 million people in every 15-minute interval. It's a pretty big audience, so you try not to think too much about that, but I've done the best I can to be prepared, and I'm ready to see just how prepared I am when the show gets started at 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Now, I know Indy 500 really close to you. You've been to the Indy 500 plenty of times, as have I, coincidentally or not. I'm going to my, I can't remember how many. I think this is 17 in a row for me coming up this Sunday. I'll be there as a fan, but What do you enjoy most about the pre-race festivities? Because that is always my favorite portion of the race, before the race, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. In fact, I think there are plenty of people who think that the pre-race is just as significant or special to them as the race itself. For me, being a native Hoosier, when they sing Back Home Again in Indiana, that's always one that's been awfully special to me, especially when I was living out of the state. So my 3 years in Moberly, I spent a couple years in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and made the trek back to Indianapolis, and I always found that song was especially poignant, especially when sung by Jim Neighbors, who unfortunately is no longer with us. But that said, I think they've done a nice job finding a solid replacement. Jim Cornelison, best known as the anthem singer for the Chicago Blackhawks, maybe not the most popular for blues fans out there, but nonetheless, he does an excellent job singing the song and still brings tears to my eyes, and I imagine that's going to be awfully special standing out there on the grid just, 15 minutes or so before gentlemen start your engines.
I was going to say, being a blues fan myself, I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I do cringe, but yeah, Jim Cornelison is about as good as it gets in regards to singing the anthem, and yeah, he did a heck of a job with Back Home Again in Indiana as well.
Yeah, I thought so too, and very, very popular when it was announced that he would be returning this year. I think that this might be the start of a new tradition.
Again, Ryan Marine, former regional radio employee, joining us. He's going to be reporting on the pits at the 102nd Indianapolis 500 this upcoming Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about the race itself, Ryan. I know some people will probably care about it, some probably don't, but, you know, a couple motorheads here, got to talk a little bit about it, right? So one of the big storylines that I'm really intrigued about, I mean, the big one is one of the faces of IndyCar, James Hinchcliffe, failed to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. And for me personally, I think that's generated as much of a buzz as more than what the pole sitter and Indiana native Ed Carpenter did getting his third straight.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that this actually, in the long term, probably is beneficial for IndyCar and the Indy 500. In the short term, you lose out because Hinchcliffe is one of the few recognizable stars, probably only behind Danica Patrick in this field of 33, in terms of a name that people around the country would know. Frankly, it probably comes from Dancing with the Stars and being on a national Honda advertisement. And not having him in the field does hurt, but I think it speaks to the drama of qualifications for the Indianapolis 500. Bump day drama was tremendous. It was a blast to broadcast, that's for sure, because no one knew what was going to happen to have a star of James' caliber left on the outside looking in. I mean, that is just perfect for radio or for television. But, you know, I do think moving forward, it does create some interest. It does create some drama. Hopefully the crowds for qualifications come up in response to this. And James has handled it with total class, as you would expect from someone like him. And as he's pointed out several times before, that was not the worst day he's had at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He had a very challenging accident back in 2015, which he bounced back from in a big way, winning the pole the following year for the 100th running of the race. And I suspect he'll bounce back from this one in a big way, too.
And then the other big storyline coming from the Indy 500, a local NASCAR favorite, Danica Patrick. She grew her roots on the IndyCar circuits before making that jump to NASCAR. So I know a lot of NASCAR fans are well aware this is going to be Danica Patrick's final race before she officially retires. You've seen her a couple times around the paddock, I'm sure. What's impressed you most about her during the month of May?
Well, she's taken the right attitude to this. Very patient, not expecting too much. I think the fact that she made the fast nine in qualifying on Saturday was a huge accomplishment. It speaks volumes to the Ed Carpenter Racing team for which she is driving this year. But then pretty conservative, I think, in Fast 9 qualifying on Sunday. Still a good starting spot on the inside of the third row. And I think that she's going to be in the mix. This is a race that has always suited her. She burst onto the scene as a rookie in this race in 2005, nearly put it on pole, finished fourth. She's finished third in subsequent years. I believe that was 2009. And for whatever reason, these long-distance races where you have to be patient, work on that race car and be there at the end, that suits her nicely. And I think she's going to be there in the mix for a solid top five finish. I think a win is probably too much to ask for, but the Ed Carpenter team has looked very strong. Ed is, of course, on pole. Spencer Pigot will be starting on the outside of the second row. So all three of their cars in the fast nine and qualifying. The Chevy power plant, I think, is the one to have as well. So Danica's approach, very impressive. Her performance, very impressive. And it would not be a surprise to see her hanging around in the mix. She's only finished outside of the top 10 once in her Indy 500 career. And in that race, she was taken out by Ryan Briscoe in the pits. So now, not of her making. I expect her to be there when it's all said and done.
We're expecting it to be a very fun race this Sunday at the Indianapolis 500. Again, Ryan Marine, former regional radio employee, joining us here on Magic City Sports Talk on Information Radio Quicks. All right, Ryan, if anyone wants to listen in to the Indy 500 and listen to you specifically just to see how you're doing, how can they do so?
I don't know if it's apropos to plug other radio stations outside of the regional radio network, but what
your
I
family.
Can tell you,
it's okay.
check out IndyCarRadio.com. We have a list of affiliates there. Also, if you would prefer, we have live streaming options available. You can check out IndyCarRadio.com. The TuneIn app has an IndyCar radio feed, which is awesome, by the way. If you haven't checked this out already, not only do we have our live broadcast there, but when we aren't live, they're playing old races. So I think earlier this morning I was listening to the 1982 Indy 500, which is about as exciting of a race as you can imagine. So that would be one way. Also, SiriusXM carries us. There's a variety of ways you can listen, and so I encourage you to check out IndyCarRadio.com. All the details will be there, and I'm sure we'll post it on our social media platforms as well in the build-up to the race. But a whole lot to look forward to. I hope you folks tune in. If you've never listened to a race on the radio, it really is a cool format the way that it's done, and the guys who I work with are really tremendous at painting the visual picture for you with their words, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
All right, Ryan. Hey, we're really proud of you, and we're definitely going to be listening this upcoming weekend on the IndyCar Radio Network. And also, I know this is really close for you personally, so enjoy the moment.
I sure will, and a big thanks to everybody out there in mid-Missouri as well. It was a perfect place to get my broadcasting career started. Spent a lot of evenings out at Randolph County Raceway on the PA system out there. So the racing community in Missouri, very special to me. My time spent in Missouri, very special to me. So I can safely say I would not be in this position without it, and I hope folks appreciate what they have in their backyard. The regional radio guys and girls all do a really tremendous job. So it's a real blessing to have it in a community like yours, and I hope you don't take it for granted.
Ryan Marine has been our guest here on Magic City Sports Talk on Information Radio Quicks.